Welcome to the Sedona Soul Sister Show, down-to-earth discussions on spiritual, metaphysical, paranormal, and healing topics. The Sedona Soul Sisters are the most trusted psychic mediums in Sedona. They have offices in Sedona, Arizona, where they see clients from all over the world. And now, today's show. Welcome to the show. I'm Ivory Lanoue, and Sedona's Sun is here. She's having a little trouble with video, but she is here, and Roz will be joining us very soon. Today's topic is heal beyond your trauma. Before we get started with that, I'd like to say a special hello to all of our listeners in Lake Zurich, Illinois. We so appreciate you tuning in. It's great to have you here. This is a topic near and dear to my heart. I had an extraordinary amount of trauma beginning in early childhood. And as soon as I got out of the long stream of trauma, I got myself into therapy. And I really couldn't take full advantage of it because I had so much trauma and I needed to let go of that. And then I heard back in 92, I learned about this thing called thought field therapy, which is something I've been doing since. And I've done it for myself since 92, and I've been doing it professionally for a long time. But what it does is it releases all emotional attachment to trauma. It's for PTSD or trauma, the type that I do on a regular basis. There's others too, but so that's my specialty. And Sedona, I know you also do something with helping people heal from trauma. What do you do with that?
Yeah, well, I've done a lot of work with trauma and myself as well. So a lot of what I do in work is based off personal experiences and then therapeutic experiences and then experiences I share with clients. But trauma can be in so many ways. It can be, you know, childhood abuse. It could be having an accident, can be very traumatic. And trauma is individual for every single person. So I do a lot of work with art, as I've mentioned before, having people like draw their story and then redraw their story. So it's a part of like changing the story. But I also do a work very similar to family constellation, if people are familiar with that. And that I call relationship recovery. And it's where you basically get to, let's say you've had a trauma in your past relationship and you haven't had a chance to heal that or deal with that person. And maybe that person's never going to want to heal that situation with you. In the relationship recovery, you get to talk to that person through me in our sessions, where it's a phone or in the room. And then that's a way of healing, and you get to let go of some of the things that you've said or need to say that that person may never be able to hear you. So that's what I do with trauma. But maybe you could explain a little further your process, Ivory, with your clients.
I was going to say, Sedona, I can really see the value in that, because one thing that women tend to really want more than men do, not that men don't ever want it, but women want and need closure. And often the reason you need closure is you were in a relationship with someone who was toxic, who had a mental illness, who had no emotional maturity. They're not capable of giving you the closure you need. So these methods are ways that you can get closure for yourself without that person being directly involved. And I think that's tremendously important, to take that responsibility for ourselves to get the closure. And there's other ways to do that too, but that's another topic altogether. But as far as the thought field therapy, what I like about it is that a person doesn't need to talk about what happened at all. And when I worked in the field of mental health for a long time, it became very clear to me that often just talking about trauma re-triggers a person's trauma and sometimes deepens their wounds from the trauma. And I like that thought field therapy, they think about a situation. And then I have them, I've actually refined it from the way I learned it a long time ago over these decades to make it more effective, and like have them think of their happy place and have them think of their happy place the whole time we're going through the flow, which is really having a person go through a series of movements and vocalizations. And it is a neuroscience technique. It's not spiritual, metaphysical, it's neuroscience. And I'm here to tell you, like, the things that happened to me that were horrific, I can talk about them, write about them, think about them, and I feel no emotional attachment whatsoever. And once in a while, something, some memory long buried will pop up and I'll realize, oh, that really still hurts me. And I'll do this again. It's an ongoing process. I mean, people are so multi-layered with their memories and their trauma. And many times our brain pushes experiences away that we're not capable of or ready to access, to know that happened, to just even to remember it. So what I like about Thought Field Therapy is it clears all the emotional attachment away. So by the time you're done with it and you get down to what we call a zero, it's like you read about it in a book or saw it in a movie. You'll remember exactly what happened to you, but you just won't feel anything about it. And that lasts forever. So what for me, the benefit of that was that I was able to go back to therapy and really benefit from it because I didn't have all the emotions getting in the way that were, I would try to kind of stop myself when they would come up so powerfully, like a tsunami of emotions. I didn't have that anymore. And I could just function and listen to what the counselor said, put it into practice. And I zoomed ahead at that point. How did you discover your method, Sedona?
Well, I had had a session with someone who did family constellation. That's when I first learned about how you could basically in that practice, it's not just talking to the person, you know, that you need to talk to, but it's also like changing your dynamic in your relationship to that experience. So that's what really helped me in this process and through my own traumas as well. But I like how you were saying something about it's in the body. Is that right? You were saying it gets stuck in the body and you use vocalization. Is that right?
Well, it's vocalization and movement, series movement. Of that. And the neuroscience technique just allows you to, you just detach. I don't know how it works exactly. I just know it works incredibly well. So well, a lot of my clients are therapists and I've done it with them and they're like, can I take this and use this with my clients? I'm like, please. So, you know, it's just got a lot of value for people. Have you noticed, Sedona? I'll be shocked if you say no. So many people carry their trauma around with them for a lifetime because it's so painful to think about it. They don't want to think about it. They don't want to talk about it. They want to push it aside. But the truth is, here's where that fact lies. You can push it away, but it's still in your body. It's still in your body. And it's still hurting you. You're still carrying it around. It's weighing you down. It's holding you back. And you know, that old saying, the only way to get over something is to go through the pain. And I think that is so true that you've got to go through it. You've got to feel the emotions. You've got to deal with it. And then you can put it behind you, but you can't just decide to put it behind you. Your body will still be hanging on to it. So will your subconscious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. And for my process, there was a masking period, you know, where, you know, in my 20s, I would drink alcohol. So there's people that do different things so that they don't have to feel. I could be watching too much TV or just, you know, avoiding those thoughts and feelings and memories that are stuck in your tissues. So the first part is like realizing that you want to be free from whatever's blocking you. So you have to go through this process of letting go of some of the addictions too at the same time so that you're no longer masking that. And I remember, I don't know if I'm going to have the right title of this book, but I think it was called Waking the Tiger. I think Peter something. And I just remember this one part in the book where he talked about animals and how animals will have a fight, you know, two dogs or something, or two deers, it'll be very traumatic because it's very aggressive, and they will stand back after and they'll shake their bodies, just completely like shake their bodies. And in that process, they're releasing the trauma. So that's why I was saying to you about that movement thing can be really powerful. Even after like a car accident, most people just like kind of freeze up and then they get all that tension in their body. I'm not saying you want to go shake your body, but you got to find some way to like release, myofascial release or something like that can actually help release a lot of the trauma that people have in their bodies. So I'm with you on the movement, whatever kind of movement it is. And it sounds like what you do is very specific to really let go of these traumas.
It is. And you know, everyone will benefit from it as long as they are willing and able to focus for half an hour and just not talk when they're not supposed to be making a sound and only be making the movements and continue to do it as they're instructed. If they have real short attention span, if they're super impatient, you know, I've had about three people all these years who could not do this. And it was really about them. You know, they just didn't have the right personality or patience to get through it. But sadly, that meant that I could not help those three people because they could not tolerate the process. And thousands of others could, thank goodness. It's important to me. It just breaks my heart as an empath when I can feel the pain somebody's carrying around with them and the level of pain they're living with. I just don't want to let them continue that way. So very often people come to me for maybe a psychic reading, or they come to me for mediumship, or they want an angel reading. But in the process of that, their trauma is revealed. And then I'm going to say, you know, at the end of the session, I'm going to send you a link to something. I want you to think about this because of this that you brought up. And I know that this will help you. And almost inevitably, they end up doing it and they're free. You know, they're free. And I send them a document afterwards so they can continue doing it, because I think I told you I started this in 92 and I did it consistently for a few years. And I thought, oh, I'm healed now. But then memories came up that I had completely buried and they were really traumatic. And I thought, oh boy, here we go. So I did it again. And then I realized, well, heck, as something happens now, even if it's not a huge trauma, but it's something that upsets me, I do it right away, because why do I want to let that accumulate in my heart chakra? Why do I want to carry that around in my brain, in the DNA of my body? You know, I want to be free. I want my frequency to be high and clear for myself, for the people that I'm trying to help. And so it is an ongoing process. And I generally see somebody one time and then they do it on their own moving forward. Very few people have come back and said, I just can't do it on my own. Will you do it for me? Sure. But I'm not looking to take a bunch of money from people. I just want to help them. And I know your heart, Sedona. I know. Well, all of us, you, me, and Roz, are all very sincere people with why we're in this business, that we want to heal people in any way we can. And everything we do is really healing based when you get down to it, right?
Mm-hmm. And it definitely, as you said, takes patience and time. And you have to be willing to put that as an intention of your life, as a priority. I can say in my past, you know, I've been on a spiritual journey for 20 years, and even just in levels of feeling like a little depressed energy and stuff that, you know, 20 years ago, that would be, you know, days and days and weeks and maybe even 6 months of feeling low after something traumatic happened. And now I can say like it could be a day or half a day. So it's not like it's always documented how these kinds of things work. There's more research that's definitely coming out about therapies and healing trauma and stuff like that. But I can definitely say that in the long run, it's worth it. It's worth it, the time to do this, because your level of joy and purpose for living definitely increases. I can say that for myself over these years of working with trauma and healing my trauma. So
I totally agree with that, Sedona. And you know, the truth is, like, I thought this to myself and I've talked to Roz about it several times, that I don't think I'd be here right now if I hadn't done all this trauma work through thought field therapy, because I was stuck in a spiral. of really toxic relationships where I suffered a lot of abuse, and I really had low self-esteem and just, you know, a lot of things that I just was spinning around. And it took a long time to work through all of that, because it always goes back far in your life. It usually starts in your youth, sometimes even very early childhood. These things are very insidious, and they sort of put a weed inside of you that grows and grows and starts to kill off the good things in your body. So when you decide to not heal, you're turning yourself over. You're like saying, I'm willing to be overtaken by trauma. I'm willing to have my life ruined to some degree by the things that happened to me in the past. And I really want the past to be in the past. There's memories that are beautiful, wonderful memories, and I love thinking about them. They make me feel really happy, joyful. And I want to retain the memories that I even want to retain the memories of the trauma, because I learned so much through surviving that. And going through it, I learned so much. But if I had not done this healing, I wouldn't have been well enough to do spiritual work to help other people. No way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely does help you in your life in so many ways and help you move forward on this path. But I'm grateful that I've had all these experiences as well. And at the time, I would be going, why is this happening to me? Why does this keep happening to me? And that's the other thing with trauma, abuse, even sexual abuse, is that it tends to keep happening. And it's not necessarily because you're wanting it. There's something that is happening for a reason. But also you have to learn in this process is to change who you are, because you can actually be attracting people that will hurt you. So I don't know if that is part of your therapeutic approach, but if you don't change you, which is the key to life, not changing yourself to not be yourself, but changing yourself to evolve to the highest self that you can be, then you won't even be continuing to attract these traumatic, abusive type situations. That's been my experience.
That's something I tend to delve into when I'm working with women who have been through or are still in a toxic relationship, and I'm coaching them to get out of it, to heal from it, to become strong, to understand why they got into it. You are absolutely right. I mean, for me, in my youth, it was a lot of sexual abuse. And so I didn't get any help. It just wasn't talked about then. So it was buried, hushed. No one talked about it. No mental health help, nothing. So it wasn't until I was out of a terrible marriage that was echoing some of that same issue that I was able to just take care of myself and get a counselor and start the process. But that's also what catapulted me into working in the field of mental health and learning thought field therapy. I originally learned it to help some of my clients who had gone through trauma and were not able to benefit from therapy because of it. And then I thought, you know, okay, I'm helping these people, but I've been through a lot. Why don't I guinea pig on myself here? So I did. And immediately I started feeling different. And it took time. It's not, I mean, you have to do one memory at a time with this process. So you start with the most painful memory, the memory you think about most often and that hurts you most emotionally to think about. And that's the one we tackle first. And then I have them prepare, what's the next one? That's what you're going to work on next. And you just keep going and going and going until you've cleared the worst of it out, get into therapy, and you can continue the thought-filled therapy process, but it doesn't replace therapy. You know, I think people do need to talk to somebody and they need professional guidance when you've been through a lot of trauma. You have PTSD, which, Sedona, you said it earlier, you can have PTSD. PTSD, people tend to think of it for war vets, but anybody who's been abused, anybody who's, like Sedona said, you've been in an accident, a tragedy, there are so many different things. Natural disasters can lead to PTSD. It can just be a bad relationship, you know, a negative one. if you are carrying around trauma, you've got some form of PTSD going, and it's no like it's likely affecting other areas of your daily living. So to me, it's a question of, do you want to stop the pain? And if they want to stop the pain, then you've got to take a step. You've got to do something different. You can't just keep pretending it didn't happen or refusing to talk about it, think about it. Like I said, it doesn't make the pain stop or the damage stop increasing within you. So if you want the pain to stop, you've got to do something. You've got to take a step. And I encourage people to do some research, look around. I mean, this is just two methods of many that are out there for surviving trauma, overcoming trauma. It's not just surviving it, but it's like getting through it, understanding why you got into it, what you learned from it, and then getting strong and going ahead in life with a different approach. Because Sedona, you hit the nail on the head. There are many different forms of trauma where people are unconsciously drawn to and drawing in people who are going to continue providing trauma to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I've learned a lot, and I'm sure many people have heard this word, is about having boundaries, knowing in yourself what you will accept and what you won't accept. And even though I will say that I have, you know, made these lists of like, this is a deal breaker in a relationship and stuff, I still have found myself getting caught up in a relationship with someone, or just even that first starting point of getting to know someone. And I was talking to someone the other day about how that we have emotional connection. That's like the first, like, heart comes out. If you're going to meet somebody, you have this emotional connection. And then the logic kind of comes in later, and you start going, wait a second, is this really the right person for me? And oftentimes people have jumped so far with their emotions and their heart that they're already in the relationship and they've gone too far. So just having some boundaries and knowing what's really right for you in relationships. And the expression I've heard is a red flag. Like, that's a red flag. If someone, you know, yells at the grocery store clerk, that's a red flag for me. If he treats somebody like that, how is he going to treat me later? Maybe he's the kindest or she's the kindest person right now, but she's definitely got this other side. So just watching out for that is really important. And what came to me even just recently, even though I've been working on this for several years, is support groups. And Ivory was saying, you know, do some research. I've done some work with 12 step, which is a powerful process. There's a Al-Anon, which is if you've come from like an alcoholic or kind of abusive family. So that's a different group, type support groups. And there may be others. I know a lot of people have had PTSD just from COVID, from having to be isolated in their homes. So there may be other support groups or other people you could meet that had that same trauma. And sometimes, I'm not saying it's going to work all the time. You don't want to use your friends as your therapist, but sometimes just as a colleague or level, you can find some peace and resonance. But be careful of your boundaries, you know, pushing someone too far to listen to your story or taking on too much from someone else. That's why it is good, as Avery was saying, to have a therapist or to do this type of work that Ivory's doing. And I think, Ivory, you're going to be doing a course, and there may be some support with that, like support group type stuff with that.
There is. I was going to mention that. I'm putting together a coaching program right now that's going to begin in December, and it's called Stronger Together. The website is strongertogether.coach. And there's still more details need to be added to that, but I am starting a registration list tomorrow. So that is a program to help women. I decided to formalize it. I've been working with women one-on-one, but what's missing is the support system for them. Usually they've been isolated in a toxic relationship. The person, their spouse, boyfriend, has separated them from their family, driven off their friends, made them paranoid that people don't really care about them, don't love them. And all that's left is the toxic partner, which is the toxic partner's plan. So what I thought is there's a big benefit to doing this as a small group where you go through a program together and it's online. There'll be one that's on a weekday during the day, one that's a weekday evening, and one that's a Saturday afternoon. So hopefully work with everyone's schedules. And at the end of it, you will have each other's contact information, and you're encouraged to go forward as a support group for each other. You've gotten to know each other over these months. You've become to a place of trust, and you understand that they've been through similar situations, and you have a built-in support group. So that's why I'm switching to doing it that way. And I'm really anxious to do this because I'm a big believer in we go through our trauma in life for a reason. Yes, on a personal spiritual growth reason, we are there to learn lessons and help us become stronger and have more insight, more compassion. But I also believe we're supposed to then give forward, pay it forward with that and help others who are in the situation and put that knowledge to good use.
Mm-hmm. That's so beautiful. I know that with support groups, the thing that's really got me is to know that I'm not alone. A lot of times when people are experiencing trauma or they're in a relationship where they feel really stuck, is they feel like they're the only one in the world that's feeling this way. It just seems to be part of trauma. You tend to like really individualize it. Like, this is my fault. I did something wrong. You know, all these statements. And when you go to a support group or have a support system around you and you hear other people's stories, it's mind blowing. So I really encourage to look for support groups or even to join in Ivory's new class that she's starting up soon.
And that reminds me, Sedona, I'm so glad you really just brought up a very important point for me, that if you've been through a relationship trauma, particularly, or a cycle of toxic relationships, something that I was recommended by my counselor when I was still in a toxic relationship and wanting to get out and heal, was a 12-step group called CODA, C-O-D-A. And I went to one down in Carefree, Arizona for a year. And the benefits of it were huge because I needed to know other people who had been in situations like that and who were further ahead in the healing process, who had gotten out of it, who had thrived. And I got to tell you, who I was when I went in and who I was a year later were like night and day. And I had a sponsor because it was a person I really liked a lot. Hi, Chris. And I remember Chris telling me she's never seen anybody heal from the trauma like I did. But what she didn't realize was that I had already done so much work before I went into my second really toxic relationship, which kind of caught me by surprise. So I think that and mental health knowledge helped me a lot. But she's right. Like, I just was not even recognizable to myself anymore in a very positive way. I felt so much stronger. So I made friends who I'm still friends with, some of those people I met in that group. And I just realized there's worse situations out there and people survive them. I'm going to survive this. I'm smart. I'm going to thrive. I'm going to move ahead with life and that I would be free. And knowing I'd be free was huge.
That's beautiful, Ivory. I think what I'll just finish by saying is that by doing the work, you step into seeing life in a different way. It's like you get new eyes and you will attract new people into your life. And sometimes it's letting go of people, but trust me, those new people that are coming in are going to be way more supportive to you. So I encourage you, if you're feeling stuck, to reach out, Google resources, contact to Ivory or I, and we'll see if we can help you with what you're going through.
Absolutely. You know, just you don't have to continue with this pain. And I don't know, Sedona, what I can do virtually as well, as long as I can see you. I don't know. Can yours be done virtually, Sedona?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's important to know. I don't want to turn the show into a commercial, but I think it's important to just let you know that because we have listeners all over the world. I have clients all over the world. And I do most of my work virtually, and it's becoming like that in our world anyway, you know, with technology the way it is. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope that this was helpful for you. And if not for you, maybe it triggers a thought for you of somebody you know and love that it will help. And you can say, hey, listen to this show. And I want you to know if you need more information about us or our services, you can visit us at SedonaSoulSisters.com. Perhaps subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss anything. And we love it when you like us. Tune in next week. Our topic next Friday is real life paranormal experiences. Sedona, I don't think I've talked about this with you, but Roz and I have a lifetime of real life paranormal experiences, and they're ongoing. Do you too, Sedona?
I'm going to have to think about that. Okay. We'll see next Friday what comes up.
Okay.
It's funny.
You can also talk about people you know, experiences of people you know.
It's totally fine. It's funny. I just say when you set the intention, what will happen in your life if you start thinking about certain things?
And you know what? And that's okay. So, you know, I like to talk about mine because I know there's a lot of people out there because they contact our show who we do a paranormal episode and they're like, I'm so glad you talked about that. I didn't know anybody else had ever experienced something like that. And, you know, I know there's something I can do to stop it, to prevent it. So that's the value in that. We're not telling you these stories for titillation. We're telling you because we want you to know these things exist. And we want you to know if you're experiencing them, you're not crazy. So anyway, we like to help people with all kinds of topics. We're done this week, but in the meantime, we hope you have an enlightening week. Thank you for listening to the Sedona Soul Sisters Show. If you'd like more information about the Sedona Soul Sisters and their services, visit their website at SedonaSoulSisters.com. Subscribe to our show here so you don't miss a thing. All of us at Sedona Soul Sisters hope you have an enlightening week.